Halloween, forget the candy, forget the Snickers, give me that brisket. Nobody says to my wife, he's a saint. Now, of course, I wolfed down a couple of club sandwiches. Go look it up. Google, baby. Google. What a remarkable career, and it ain't over yet.
Ira, let's keep it raw. Let's keep it real. What do Bucks fans need to know about Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium?
You've heard us talk a lot about Sean Sullivan, and that really is the key. Besides being a football guru, and nobody knows the draft like Sean Sullivan, he's in my fantasy league, and I'm driving, of course, my cherry red Ford Escape. But here's the point. We talk a lot in these podcasts about the personal service with Sean Sullivan, asked for the Ira Kaufman discount. We're not fooling around here. How many dealerships have you ever gone to in your life, no matter what brand of car, where you're dealing directly with the general manager? It doesn't happen. Usually the guy's behind a glass booth. You can't get to him. You got to go through the salesman, then you go through the sales manager. You never really deal directly with the general manager. And that's not the case with Bill Curry Ford. That's what makes it so special. Sean Sullivan makes himself available. And it's not just to close the deal. He's there all the time. He spends more time there than he does in his house. And he's so accommodating. He's so knowledgeable. And he's so flexible. He will get you the vehicle you want. You'll be very happy with the experience. He's not a hard sell. He's not all over you. But he's there for you. And I can speak from personal experience. When you're done with Bill Curry Ford, you will be very, very pleased with the entire experience. And odds are, you will make a deal with Sean Sullivan, and you'll be very happy that you did.
Ira, it's clear as it can be. If you have a flood in your house, if you find mold, if you have a disaster, a fire, storm damage, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. And they give you a free assessment inside your property so you know what the heck's going on to find out what they can repair and fix immediately. They're going to work with your insurance company so you don't get ripped off. And it's your peace of mind in your greatest hour of need. Owner Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration, he's got 14 years experience on the other side as an insurance adjuster. So he knows exactly what's going on. He knows how to prevent you from getting screwed by your insurance company. And it's really important. And of course, he also works with the great property managers across the Tampa Bay area, plumbers, air conditioning, repair folks who are always in need of disaster services because they find all kinds of problems. It's peace of mind, Ira. I know you have it.
They know what they're doing over there, Steve, at Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh Martin's got a good group. We know these people. We know people that have used them. So this is not just some kind of a promotion and we don't really know anything about the company. It's not like that. Now, Steve, we got through hurricane season, basically, and the rainy season is behind us. But, Steve, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a potential mold problem in your residence because you can get a leak at any time. At any time, garage, in your kitchen, in the bathroom. And when that happens, you face potential water damage, mold issues. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. That should be your first call before your insurance. They'll come out, Josh Martin and his group, and you'll get an honest assessment. You can't just let it go. Florida's Elite Restoration has to be your first phone call.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 6-1 is the record, and the Ira Kaufman podcast is going to be a fun one today with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. As you heard previously, Ira given his beautiful endorsement there. Bill Curry Ford is where it's at. GM Sean Sullivan is the man to see. He's going to help you any way he can by phone, email, right in the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Just ask. And ask for that Ira Kaufman discount, BillCurryFord.com. Sage, we got a lot to get into. I know you were out at the stadium doing all kinds of things, working behind the scenes and doing your thing. kicking yourself that you didn't end up somehow end up with Tom Brady's 600th touchdown there, so you could quit Joe Bucks fan and ride off into the sunset with your lovely bride. But I do have to mention, Ira, I know it's a special time for you. Your 40th wedding anniversary is coming up. It's around the corner. What do you have to say for yourself?
Steve, in honor of that 40th anniversary, I'm tying the knots with this football team. I'm tying the knot. Lee, when you think about it, it wasn't that long ago when Buck fans would lose by 4 points to a good team and they're yakking about moral victories. And here we are, Lee, 2 or 3 years later, and I got to go down into the interview room after a 38-3 shellacking. The game was over in 10 minutes, Lee. Game over. Forget it. Go home, Chicago fans. And Lee, all I hear is carping from Arians. We could have put a 50 up. I guess Brady said it again Monday night. I can't believe we didn't score 50 points. Are we that jaded? Do we have to be that jaded, Lee, that we can't appreciate a 35-point thumping, a streak of 14 wins in 15 games? Lee, we got to sit back a little bit and take the overview that these are unbelievable times for our listeners and our readers. This is nirvana. Yeah, they lost one game to the Rams. All right. Rams are a good team. Say what you want about the Bears, Lee. They beat the Raiders soundly a couple of weeks ago. Soundly. And I know it was the week that Gruden got canned, but the Raiders aren't bad, Lee. They're not bad. Lee, my main point is, and you know, I did the podcast with Derek Brooks, and he's saying, you know, you got to put these teams away. I go, Brooks, I'm so glad you are my fifth grade teacher. What kind of marker are you? He's looking for style points. I said, you got your style points. Nothing's ever good enough. I think we've reached that kind of point, and I know you always reach for perfection, but Lee, let's stop and smell the roses. This is one hell of a football team. And Lee, I know you're into the Vegas odds. The favorite to hoist the Super Bowl, the Tampa Bay Bucks, over the Cardinals, over the Rams, over the Bills, the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Oh, wow. And I just saw DraftKings. They had the Bucks and the Bills tied as the best odds over everyone else. I think you can do both, Ira. I think everybody appreciates what the Bucks are doing. Well, I can tell you what a bad team is, what the Bucks beat up on Sunday. The Bears are horrible. They're horribly coached. They got bad players. They're a bad, bad team. But, you know, referencing the Bears win over the Raiders, bad teams do win games. Not many, but bad teams do. Not every bad team can be the Lions. I absolutely agree with Arians. I absolutely agree with Brady. The Bucks at times were borderline sloppy on offense. Yeah, I said that. Even though Brady had 4 touchdowns, he did have 6 incompletions in a row in the Bears' real estate. They butchered a goal line stand. I thought, like Arians, like Brady, they left points on the board. And you must finish drives if you hope to beat the Saints on the road. You must finish drives if you hope to beat the Bills at home. You must finish drives if your goal is to win another Super Bowl. They were not doing that all Sunday night. Not all the time. A lot of times. But I agree with Arians, and I agree with Brady. And if you're going to have high standards, you got to meet those standards. They should have been playing with a 60 ball. That's no joke. It was the Bears were that bad, and the Bucks were moving the ball that well. So you're not going to get me saying, oh, you know, this is irresponsible or something. No. I'm right there with them. Was I happy? Yes. Did I enjoy it? Darn right. Did I lose perspective? Oh, no. The Bucks were horrible just 18 months ago. But their goal is to win another title. And winning back-to-back Super Bowls makes you among the top 30 teams in NFL history. Top 30 teams in NFL history don't need points in the field like they did.
Steve, let me add this before you weigh in, Steve. The biggest culprit for the second half malaise, and I don't use that word too often, Stevie.
Perfect malaise.
I may not be able to spell it, but I can say it. You know what the culprit was? Boredom.
let's get this freaking game over with and go home. It's not like they let Chicago back in the game, which they did in Philadelphia. You could argue, well, the Bears are worse than the Eagles. Yeah, probably they are. But, Steve, it's not like they made it a game or something. The game was over in 10 minutes, and Chicago never challenged. So what's the big beef over here, Isbits?
I hear what you're saying, Ira. I hear what Lee's saying. Just a couple of thoughts. First, I don't think the Bears are that bad. I just think they're a terrible matchup against the Bucks. It's just a bad matchup. I mean, the Bears can run the ball and they can play defense, but they can't play defense well enough to stop the Bucks. But they'll play defense well enough to beat a lot of teams. And the Bucks did get a little lucky, you know, with Khalil Mack has been banged up, not practicing. He played, but he hasn't been the same player the last couple of weeks. Of course, they lost Robert Quinn, who, you know, all the Bears fans were saying he's been their best defender. And, you know, the Bucks did exactly what they needed to do, which was get a lead and force Justin Fields to pass, which was, that was the goal. I mean, if they could have kept that game close, the Bears, it would have been different, but it was over fast. But I agree with you, Ira, and I'm going to agree with Lee a little bit, and I'm going to put some of that second half malaise on coaching. Part of that's coaching. You know what? There has to be accountability, Mr. Arians. And if you don't like it, if you're really that passionate about it, then something's got to give. Call a timeout when you don't need it. Rip these guys a new one, telling them no one's getting Monday off if we don't score a touchdown before the end of this game. But again, of course, Ira, it sounds ridiculous. They won 38-3. It was a total laugher. The game was never in doubt. We got to sit back and appreciate it a little bit to some point, but the standards are high, and darn it, you know, if you can put up two more scores easily, then that's what you got to do.
Lee, if I'm going to poke around the Bucks on Sunday, Lee, I'm going to say it in this respect. What the heck are Arians and Leftwich thinking, Lee? What are they thinking? Leaving Brady in the game, early fourth quarter, and then he throws two or three passes. I mean, if he's handing off, it's one thing. I still think it's unnecessary. Get Gabbert in there. But Lee, and the Bears are all, you know, they're embarrassed. They're humiliated. Some rookie will make a name for himself rolling into Brady's knee. Lee, there was no reason for it. Absolutely no reason for Brady to be in that freaking game.
I'm not outraged by it, but I wouldn't disagree.
He is the franchise. You want to leave Alex Kappa in? Go do it, Steve.
Sage, one guy who did get garbage time work behind the second team offensive line in the final series, everybody knew the Bucs were running the ball. It was Blaine Gabbert time. They got all the backups in there on the O-line. We saw our first Keyshawn Vaughn sighting of the season. 5 carries, 27 yards, when everybody knew they were going to run the ball. And Arians was just straight up joyful and giddy in his voice on his radio show. He was saying that Vaughn may have the best vision of all the running backs, picking and sliding, picking out his holes. And he just loved the production. His tone was upbeat. You know, I don't know. What's going on here, Ira?
I've been saying it on this podcast, Lee. You've heard me say it. Arians is very excited about Vaughn's ceiling, his potential. That doesn't mean he's going to get 10 carries Sunday in the Superdome. Doesn't mean that. I mean, they're really running the ball well right now. And in Lee's words, I'm all about productivity. And Lee, you're getting productivity out of the running game right now. You got to admit it. Productivity. Positive yardage. Good yardage. So it all helps. But Lee, Arians likes this guy Vaughn. He's liked him from the start. And he goes out of his way. And I think Steve hit the word, because as he was talking about Vaughn, I was going to use the word. And Steve used it. Giddy. Arians is giddy about this. Now, some of it, Lee, is coach speak, and we know Arians does that. I think there's a little bit more to it. He sees the guy in practice, sees the guy in training camp. He's going to be a key Buck contributor next fall, in my opinion.
Perhaps. The very first thing I thought of when I saw Keyshawn Vaughn carrying the ball in that game, they're showcasing him.
Ah.
Showcase him for a trade. Now, of course, I can hear people screaming, what are you talking about? The guy's a bench warmer. He can barely get active on game day. He's a third-round pick. He's not that great. No. People are overcomplicating that thought. I'm pretty much of the belief the Bucks are going to make a trade for a cornerback. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go out and get a starter. They really don't need a starter right now. I don't know if they can afford a starter with the salary cap, but there's going to be some people that maybe aren't starting, maybe a backup, a decent backup, and to sweeten the pot, if they need to, Keyshawn Vaughn would sweeten that pot to get this guy, or rent a player, because they're down five. You can't tell me that they're going to catch up with them sooner or later, and here we are, they're playing the Saints. Would you rather have a guy that's already on a roster and maybe get snaps, although he's a backup, he may be getting snaps every week, or would you like to have some guy that hasn't played in a year, and he's picking his nose in some bar in Omaha or something?
Arians on his radio show was talking about how the Bucs have started seven different defensive backfields in seven games, and it may very well be eight this week. He said, you know, bring on number eight. He really likes Rashard Robinson, who is a cornerback who played a handful of games for Dallas last year. Previously, he was with the Jets when Todd Bowles was there. Plus, he got a lot of games in early in his career with the 49ers and also with the Jets in 2017. So Arians was talking about how the guys played a lot of football. He knows the system. And he played defense for the first time, really, last week with the Bucs. 14 snaps when they lost Adi Delaney. So, I mean, maybe this is a guy they like. Who knows? But it is crazy. What do you think, Sage, of this rotating situation? And Lee's thought about a trade.
My inclination, Lee, and you made a lot of sense, Lee, but my inclination is they're gonna try to ride this out and utilize the bye week and try to get a couple of guys back, like a Carlton Davis or Bunting. I mean, where's Bunting? 6 weeks. Where is he? What's his status? German could be back. I think they're gonna try to ride it out, Lee.
I totally agree with you prior to the Bears game. I think that was their goal. Well, I don't know that that goal's been met. We'll find out Wednesday, or have an idea at least, what's going on with Delaney, what's going on with Jamel Dean. But I agree with you. I think that was I'm convinced that was their goal. Get to the bye week.
Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. The Bromosa, delicious tangerine IPA. The original, the Wavemaker, Amber Ale. So many great choices. You can find them all at BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com. They've got the four tap rooms, Amway Center in Orlando, Cape Coral, Odessa, and where the Sage watches every road game, including the Saints game, the Jameis Winston Fiesta going on there on Halloween. Sage will be at Clearwater 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. You can hang out with the Sage. He's got some gift cards. Great place to watch football, covered outdoor seating, indoors as well. Just a beautiful setup, phenomenal food, Florida's best craft beer, Ira in the house. It's going to be fun, Ira. I know you're going to have a great time.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of my regular Buck fans. It's Halloween. That's going to be a festive atmosphere. The last road game, when I was at Big Storm, I had a little bit of a stomach issue. So I was relegated to the Big Storm salad, which is a hell of a salad. And I try to have it almost every time I'm there, but that's all I had that day. And I didn't have any beer. I had a Coke. Well, I don't expect any stomach issues, so I'm starting right out. There will be a salad, but I think I'm hitting the brisket hard, Lee. It's been a while, and I can just picture it. Brisket for Halloween. Forget the candy. Forget the Snickers. Give me that brisket. So looking forward to Sunday.
I find it funny that I asked you about your 40th anniversary earlier. You blew it off. Okay, you don't want to talk about it. Maybe you insulted your wife's cooking or something. That's fine. So I'll ask you a different personal question.
Wait a minute. I want to weigh in on one aspect of that. I was talking to Catherine Smith. You know, I got a lot of respect for Catherine Smith. Worked with her at the Tribune for a long period of time. She was on the Bucks beat with me and Roy Cummings. Now she's doing great work for Bay News 9, Spectrum Sports. She's fabulous. She was at the game. And I mentioned to her that my 40th anniversary, and she knows my wife very well. And Lee, this is not a one-off comment. This seems to be the trend, no matter who I mention, that I'm coming up to my 40th anniversary. And Lee, it's a three-word response. It's a three-word comment. And Lee, to be honest, I'm getting a little tired of hearing it. The comment is, she's a saint. Jesus saint. If I didn't have such a strong ego, I'd be a basket case right now. But I can handle it. I can take it. Nobody says to my wife, he's a saint. But I get it all the time, DeKemper. And you know what? How about a little equality over there, Lee? She's a saint, Steve. That's what I get.
Ira, before we get back to the Bucks, favorite Halloween costume during your days in the 50s in Brooklyn?
Howdy doody. Howdy doody.
Howdy doody.
Howdy doody. And I just lost about 94% of our audience. Go look it up. Google, baby. Google. Howdy doody. Cheap. You know, it's not like we're going to go spend $85 on a costume, gentlemen. Maybe a plastic gun and a belt and a cowboy hat. $3.99. Get out there, Ira. Ring some doorbells. Ring some doorbells.
I won't make a one-liner about plastic guns and Alec Baldwin. I won't do it.
That's right. That's right.
Ira, in the Bears game, any big takeaway for you from you on either side of the ball? Chris Godwin is now the Buccaneers' leading receiver in yards and receptions. Anything you're pulling away from this game on a broader picture?
Tristan Wirfs, again, who I think got off to a rather slow start by his standards, Lee, by his standards, which are very high. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I forgot the game, New England or somebody, that he was obliterating people. Lee, he's killing people. He's killing people. You know, I watched a bit of the Chiefs game before I left for the stadium. They got this guy, Orlando Brown. They gave up some draft picks to get him. Guys are going right around him. They're in Mahomes' face. This guy's supposed to be an all-pro. Nobody does that to Tristan Wirfs. Nobody. The guy's given up one or two sacks in his career. I'm not sure if it's one or two. Some people say it's only that one by Khalil Mack. He might have had two that night. I can't remember. In the Windy City. But he had an off game. But Lee, the guy's a phenom. He's an absolute phenom. You love Paul Gruber. I love Paul Gruber. Durable. Smart. Reliable. Paul Gruber ain't Tristan Wirfs, Lee. On his best day, he ain't Tristan Wirfs. And Gruber's in the Ring of Honor.
You could tell Tristan Wirfs, as soon as they came out with the schedule, had the Bears circle. People were hounding him on social media for a year about that. And, of course, there was a famous video if he just got flipped over by Mac, which is a hell of a move by Mac. Mac didn't do a darn thing. I think he had one tackle. That was it. One tackle. Everything else across the line, goose eggs. And Wirfs took him out. And Mac and I know you get, and rightfully so, you get a little agitated when I label a guy a future Hall of Famer. I don't think, I think Mac will be discussed in the room, as you like to say, Ira, about a Hall of Fame. He's that good. And you didn't even know the guy was in the game. You didn't even know it. Wirfs just took him out. What a draft pick. That's the best way to sum it up, Ira. What a draft pick that guy has been.
Look at the timing, Steve. Here comes Cameron Jordan. That was Wirfs' professional debut, right, Steve? In a game that counted was Cameron Jordan in the Superdome. And he more than held his own. And I don't think the Bucs gave him a lot of help in that game. Now, New Orleans won the game, but it wasn't like Kamara ran wild or anything, Lee. And it wasn't like Brady was totally under siege. So he started his career with Cam Jordan. Jordan's off to a little bit of a slow start, Steve. I think he's only got one sack. A little unusual for a guy of his skills. Cam Jordan will renew acquaintances Sunday afternoon with Mr. Tristan Wirfs. And Steve, Wirfs is playing out of his mind.
Well, he got me thinking when he mentioned Khalil Mack in the Hall of Fame. I was thinking, hey, you know, Mack's obviously had a great start to his career. He's going to have to last. He's 30. He's going to have to try to get those numbers up to get there, those sack totals up as an outside rusher. But it made me think of Jason Pierre-Paul, who's playing with a busted rotator cuff that we find out now. He's playing with broken fingers. An interesting take from Bruce Arians on his radio show, Ira. He was asked about what are Shaq and JPP, what are the big things they're teaching Joe Tryon Shoyanko, the rookie? And Arians' answer? They're teaching him how to play hurt. That was his answer. And then he went on to talk about JPP being just so unique And he essentially said he doesn't expect JPP to practice the rest of the year. Just learn what you need to know and be show up on Sunday, and that's it. Because we, you know, torn rotator cuff, serious situation. But that was an interesting message from Arians on, hey, learning how to play hurt. And that's been a theme with Arians for a long time. He's talked about how Carlton Davis learned how to play through injuries and bunting, not their current injuries, but previous injuries. He was all over Scotty Miller's ass as a rookie because he sat out a preseason game with a hamstring, and I think Arians thought he should have pushed through it. And it's a common theme, and I think Arians benefits from having JPP out there because it's like, hey, you know, JPP's like, you want to saw my leg off? I'll get out there. Don't worry about it.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, Steve, with the word durability. And I'm in that Hall of Fame room, and Terrell Davis comes up, and, you know, some other guys that have had rather short careers, and nobody wants to hold it against them. Ken Easley, he didn't play a long time. Baselli is on the doorstep. I think he'll probably get in for the class of 2022. He's waited about 5 years. But, Lee, I think durability is a downplayed commodity. I think it's very important. You know, there's a famous quote, 80% of life is showing up. Like, you know, that's the greatness of Rondé Barber, Derek Brooks, Lee. It's not like they weren't hurt. Of course they were hurt. They played through it, and this guy is unique, JPP. Arians said it after the game, Lee. Said he's been around hundreds of players, good players. This guy kind of stands alone. I don't know if it's his pain tolerance. I think equally important is his love for football. He loves to play, Lee. You know, if you stand the guy up, he's playing. What a remarkable career, and it ain't over yet.
Well, I think part of the reason for his drive, he's got an incredible drive. Like, we all know about the hand. He came back from that. He has a broken neck and a wreck. He comes back from that. And the Bucks realize what kind of heart this guy has. They know it. They've seen it. I want to say JPP once said, you know, they asked him, where do you get this drive from, this crazy drive? I want to say one of the things that he gave credit for his drive was his father's blind and has been blind for decades. And he basically looks at his dad and sees how his dad gets around. And his dad never complains. And he's like, wow, well, my dad can do that given his condition. I could play her.
What a role model.
But it's interesting, Ira. JPP, he'll tell you, he doesn't watch football. He was never a football fan growing up. He just loves to play. He loves to compete, and he loves the money. But he's not a football fan. He does not. This is all new to him in a lot of ways. He was new as a college player. His family wasn't into it as a kid. And so he's kind of unique in that way.
Lee, I got to see another side of JPP. This spring, when the Arians Foundation held a banquet at Innisbrook Resort, and I was invited, and I went over there, and I was in the room. Of course, I wolfed down a couple of club sandwiches late, of course, maybe some dessert. But I stood around. I didn't take a seat. I stood around. I wanted to see what was going on, and the auctioneer was there auctioning off items, and the one player, and Brady was there, and Arians, of course, and coaches. And Lee, JPP was very animated, very, very animated. He was involved. They would auction something off for $5,000, and then he would add something to it and make it $10,000. He was very animated, very involved emotionally with the whole night, raising funds for a good cause. I remember after the night was over, and they raised a lot of money, Lee. A lot of money, because Brady was giving away, you know, jerseys and stuff and memorabilia. And then I think the first thing that the auctioneer did was give JPP a big hug, because he didn't expect that kind of cooperation from a Bucks player. And he was right there. And I never saw that side of Pierre Paul, but he is quite a leader in his own way, Lee.
He's a unique dude, that's for sure.
Sage, I just want to remind everybody that right now at Bill Curry Ford, till the end of the month, It's the best in class sweepstakes, which means you go test drive any vehicle at Bill Curry Ford and you let them know that you want to get your name in the hat to watch a Bucks game in a suite, in the Bill Curry Ford suite on the 40-yard line with GM Sean Sullivan, food, drinks, talking football. It's just that simple. Information is right there at joebucksfan.com. Ira, now I know you had a couple of goals going to the Bucks game the other day. We haven't talked about this, but I know you were planning to harass Tony Romo before the game, and you're always looking to corner one of the Glazers. How did it go? Did you run into any other celebrities? What happened?
I was hell bent on getting to Romo before the game because I wanted to get him to talk a little bit about Rondé Barber. You know, my antenna's up for Rondé Barber, for Canton. You know, you can't wait till the last minute. And I've got plenty of quotes from people about Barber. The best quote I got was from John Gruden. And I don't know if I can bring that into the room in February. We shall see. But it was a fantastic quote that Gruden texted me about Rondé Barber. So anyway, you know, 2 hours before the game, I make the trek down and there's a guy sitting outside the door. And I said, hey, is Tony in there? No, he's down on the field. Be up in about a half an hour. So I went back, polished off another chicken wing, bided my time, and then I went back down there. The same guy sitting there. Oh, he's in the bathroom. Be right out. All right. I wait against up against the wall. Romo comes out of the bathroom, hitches up his pants. He's ready to go into his booth, and I stop him. Tony, I need you for a minute. It's important. What's up? I said, I'm the Tampa representative for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I got a question for you about Rondé Barber. Why does Rondé Barber deserve a bust in Canton? And Romo played against the Bucks. I think he ended up 4-0 against the Bucks. He had a lot of success.
Oh, wow.
But he played against Barber 4 or 5 times. And he gave me a good quote about his smarts, his versatility, and how you had to game plan. Every time you face the Bucks as a quarterback, you had to account for Rondé Barber. And, of course, that's one of the telltale signs of a great player, that he's very prominent in your game plan. So I had my tape recorder, and, you know, he gave me 90 seconds worth of stuff. I was happy. Lee, I shut off my tape recorder, put it in my pocket, and he looks down at my credential, got my credential around my neck. And he looks down, and he goes, Ira Kaufman, I know that name. And he gave me a smile, and he had to get back in the booth, so he walked away. Lee, the only thing I could think of, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, when I started walking back towards the main press box, Lee, I've been slamming this guy on the Mad Dog. More than once, telling Russo, this guy's overrated. I'm over Tony Romo. He never shuts up. Let the game breathe a little bit. I guarantee that got back to Tony Romo, one of his buddies or whatever. You know, Russo's got a big audience, Lee. And all it would take is one text or a call. Hey, this guy, Ira Kaufman's trashing you, Tony. And Russo, he's backing Ira up. Says, you talk too much. You're a blabbermouth. When he looked at me and said, I know that name. And then he walked back in, Lee. You can't write a script like that, Kemper.
Did he give you a dirty look or something? Or?
Well, he gave me a smirk. A little bit of a smirk.
That is fantastic. I got to ask you, I thought of this when you were saying this. You know, fans should realize that when you talk to somebody who has played against a player, and not a teammate, because they're always going to say good things. But, you know, when you can run into a guy like Romo who's played against Rondé Barber or you know, pick a player, doesn't really matter. But have you ever asked a player for a quote on a potential Hall of Famer and the player says, I don't think that guy's a Hall of Famer. I'm not answering you because I don't think he was that good. Has that ever happened?
You know, it happened with Bill Polian. Polian worked the Bucks game 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, he knew me because I'd see him at the NFL owners' meetings all the time. And he was a big Lynch guy. So he gave me some great Lynch stuff. And when he finished the Lynch thing,
I said, well, next year is going to be Rondé Barber's first year of eligibility. How about Rondé Barber? He looked at me and he goes, you'll have to get that from somebody else, not me, not Rondé Barber. I was shocked. I was shocked, Lee. Of course, I'm never going to mention that to 48 fellow selectors.
Well, Ira, isn't it just possible that Polian had to use the restroom? I mean, he gave you all this great stuff on Lynch. Maybe he was done and had to use the facilities. The man is not a youngster.
Yeah, there's someone else. I won't mention his name because you told me this, and I didn't, you know, you told me this in confidence some time ago, but I believe it was about Barber. You asked this guy, a guy who will be in the Hall of Fame someday, but he wouldn't comment. He wouldn't tell you.
Yeah, yeah. You never know what they're going to say, Steve. Now, most of the time, Steve, they're going to accommodate you. Most of the time, they'll accommodate you. But you made an early point, Steve, that's important that the fans need to realize. If you're pushing for John Lynch, Simeon Rice, Rondé Barber, and you got a quote from Monty Kiffin, that's not going to hold any water, Steve. It's not going to hold any water. You got a quote from Tony Dungy. They're going to look at you. Hey, well, what's Dungy going to say? Of course, he coached these guys. You got to get the people that went against them. That's the key thing. So that's what I focus on, you know, in my preparation. And I'm not done. Lee, what about this great Gruden quote I get? Do I bring that back in the room? And has Gruden lost credibility in that respect?
Oh, I'm sure with some people he lost credibility, but it's a good quote. And Gruden coached Rondé Barber before he made those emails. I don't see why that has to be purged.
Ira, I'll give you one answer. One simple answer why you have to use the Gruden quotes if you get Rondé Barber back in the room for the finalists. Because the moment you quote John Gruden, everybody in that room will be paying attention. And you know that half the guys in that room and women in that room, they're falling asleep half the time because everybody's boring and it's been 6 hours already and they got to take a leak. Or they just ate a sandwich and they're wondering if the mayonnaise was bad because it was sitting there for hours. But the minute you quote John Gruden, everybody's paying attention. So you got to do it.
That's outstanding, Steve. I love the way you think about these things. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but the Hall of Fame will have a new president. David Baker has resigned.
What's the deal about that? That's awful fishy. Guy resigns on a weekend?
Well, Lee, it's the old quote, I want to spend more time with my family. You know, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, it smells good. I'll push him out.
Might have been pushed out. You know, he's very ambitious, Baker. He's not a bad front man. You know, he's got a lot of charisma to him. He's 6'9", 340, Lee. 6'9", 340. His son played for the Falcons, Sam Baker. We shall see. It's going to be a big transition, but David Baker's stepping down. Now, Steve, he's the guy that knocks on people's doors. He's the guy that knocked on John Lynch's door in Rancho Mirage, you know, in February. And the NFL Films cameras follow him around. It's very dramatic. Some of these knocks are very dramatic.
It is, but they could just have Aaron Andrews do it. It'll be a lot more interesting. And that's that. For those who don't know, the Hall of Fame invested in this massive redevelopment project on their property in Ohio, and it was a huge bust. I mean, and Baker was at the forefront of that, so I'm sure this was all about that and nothing more, really.
Yeah, he was at the forefront, had big ideas, big projects for Canton, Ohio. Not all of them are shelved, Steve, but they certainly have not proceeded to the degree that had been promised.
All right, Ira. Now, I want to warn everybody that the next podcast, it's before the Saints game. Now, we've been dealing with some games that weren't necessarily super interesting, but this game has got crazy ramifications within the division, within the conference. It's Jameis, which, you know, he's just going to – his eyes were already popping out on the sidelines last night when he was screaming at his wide receiver, losing his mind. It's going to be a wild podcast. We're going to be talking a lot about what this game means on a lot of levels, get some great wisdom from the sage, some of his inside information. So I got to plug the next podcast because there's only one Halloween Jameis game, Ira.
Next year, Lee, I'm going to make you a promise, Lee, and I hope you join me. Let's do the New Orleans trip next year, Lee. Let's do it.
If they open up the locker rooms, I'll be more than happy to go there. I don't necessarily need access to the locker room, but if I can get a player, pull him aside, talk to him one-on-one. If I can't do that, then that's a waste of my time.
I hear you, my man.
Apparently, Gronk was texting Brady right after the Bucs game, according to Brady, saying, man, you missed me in the red zone. You guys were struggling out there without me. And, you know, which was kind of a fun little nugget. And Arians, talking about the failures late in the game, he used a word, Ira, that you said should not appear from, it's a very sensitive word for a man of your stature and age. Arians said multiple times that there was too much, quote, leakage on the offensive line. And I know you've said before not to use that word.
First of all, Steve, my first reaction to the Gronkowski call is, watch the freaking game, Gronk. All four of Brady's touchdown passes came within the 10-yard line. So not even the 20, Lee. So I reject this all of a sudden total breakdown in the red zone. I mean, Lee, you're not going to score a touchdown every time you get in the freaking red zone. Not every time. He threw four touchdowns from inside the 10-yard line. So let's not overreact here. And by the way, one of the side benefits of what's going on with the Bucs with the 14 out of 15, but with the current four-game winning streak. And we said this. They don't have to rush Gronkowski back, Lee. That's a big, big thing. They don't have to rush back. You know, if he doesn't play in New Orleans, you know, the sky's not going to fall. And he's got a bye week. In a way, it'll remind me a little bit of last year after the bye week, except they're not going to be 7-5. And it's coming a month earlier than last year. But I don't want to hear about leakage. They just won 38-3. It doesn't happen very often. They're killing people. The running game is strong. The line's playing great. Brady's leading the league in touchdown passes. He's leading the league, Lee. The Bucs as a team have scored the most touchdowns in the National Football League. I mean, these are the Tampa Bay Bucs we're talking about, Lee. Good times are here. Let's celebrate and not talk about leakage.
And they don't those good times don't last. Look what's going on with San Francisco and the Chiefs.
They're going to last as long as number 12's upright, baby.
Pretty much. I got two things real quick to throw into the conversation. When did Gronkowski supposedly text Brady? Because he was on the bench. He was in the locker room. And he's texting Brady about the game? Like, whoa. You were in the locker room, dude. You were on the bench. You couldn't talk to him. And that might go along with, you know, Brady's famous 90% of what I say is nonsense. So that might be just something concocted. But I got to throw this one at you. And I'm sincere about this. I don't know. When is the last time, if ever, when is the last time the Bucs defense had more forced turnovers than points allowed?
Nice one, Lee. Nice one.
I'm thinking when they played Baltimore in 2002.
I actually looked that up. It was when they shut out the 49ers in 2010.
Wow. Nice, Steve. I believe I was at that game, Steve, and I think I had some sourdough bread in the press box before kickoff. That's what I remember.
All right. Well, hey, sourdough bread goes great with Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. We thank Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first phone call, if you have any disaster in your home, flood, mold, fire damage, whatever it is, they're there for you 24/7. Great friends of ours, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. And Bill Curry Ford, test drive gives you a shot to watch a game with Sean Sullivan, GM. What could be better than that? And on top of that, you get the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. If you buy a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford, get to BillCurryFord.com. Sage, I'm going to give you a final thought on the NFC South, and I'll throw you one little nugget because you love nuggets. As you prepare your final thought on the NFC South to end this podcast, Atlanta now 3-3. They, I believe, are one of only two teams. They may be the only one that has scored every time they've gotten into the red zone this season.
what? You're leading me right into my final thought, Steve. And it's about the Falcons. Two things. One, I know Kyle Pitts started off a little bit slow, but he's going to be a heck of a player. Doesn't mean they shouldn't have drafted a quarterback, but he's going to be a heck of a player. But Lee, my bigger point about the Falcons, and I tried to mention this after week two, after the Bucs won in week two. Lee, Matt Ryan, I got a tremendous amount of respect for Matt Ryan. I mean, when's the last time he had a decent running game? You know, he's lost Julio Jones. I thought he played a whale of a game against the Bucs till the end, and they picked him off a couple of times. Lee, the guy's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's in the conversation. He might play for another 2 or 3 years. He's putting up numbers. I got a lot of respect for Matt Ryan, Lee.
I've always liked him. I always liked Matty Ice. He's a good quarterback. And, you know, it's a shame that he didn't win the Super Bowl because his team couldn't play defense.
That's right. Lee, I'm glad you mentioned that, Lee. And I've heard it a million times. Every time I hear it, I try to issue the counter-argument, and it falls on deaf ears. Nobody listens to what I'm saying. Lee, they're up 28-3. It's like middle of the third quarter. They lose the game in overtime because Brady's unbelievable, and they're trying to blame Matt Ryan for getting whatever. Make a couple of stops, Lee. Make a couple of freaking stops. You don't blame Matt Ryan for losing a 28-3 lead. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, it's always fun to end a podcast with a one-liner from Ira saying that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Until next week.